listening to SpursCast, episode 561. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on SpursCast. Today, I'll be joined by Project Spurs founder Michael DeLeon. Mike and I will be discussing the Spurs' play in their last three games, and then we'll dive into the new, yet familiar starting lineup. Let's get into this episode. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I haven't posted anything on Instagram all day, and nobody's writing anything about me, so I think, I've got that going for me.
Hey, Mike, but on Instagram, see, I don't use Instagram anymore, Mike, but are you following the Spurs, and then did you unfollow them?
Oh.
Okay, because I know that's the latest rumor in Spurs Twitter that players are unfollowing the Spurs account or something. I don't know. We're not going to get into that because those are just rumors. They're not even rumors by media. These are just things that people that follow the Spurs players on Twitter, on Instagram, they're getting really diving into the stuff about them deleting pictures and stuff. And I don't know what's going on there. So we're not going to focus on their Spurs cast listeners. Mike and I are going to actually be discussing the Spurs and their play on the court and then also some of these new lineup changes that they're making. All right, Mike. So since the last Spurs cast, the Spurs have gone 1-2 in their games. They fell to Philly by 11 last Friday. They defeated the New York Knicks in New York on Saturday by 7, which ended their losing streak. And then most recently, they suffered their second loss of the season to the Los Angeles Lakers in San Antonio Monday evening, 114-104. Let's begin there, Mike. You know, as I mentioned, Friday they lose to Philly. Pop had kind of messed with the lineup a little bit more now, and he had put DeJounte Murray in the starting point guard role and Jakob Poeltl back at center since Derek White was out with the foot injury. They end up losing that game. But then on Saturday on a back-to-back, they play the Knicks, and since DeJounte's out due to his minutes restriction, Derek becomes the starting point guard. They keep Jakob there at center, and they end up ending that 8-game losing streak, and they beat the Knicks by 7, where San Antonio had a pretty comfortable lead throughout that game. And then I mentioned, yesterday was kind of surprising news that Pop mentioned, he said basically, I'm sticking with Derek as the point guard and then Jakob at the center. So basically that made Murray go to the bench in this game against the Lakers. And the Spurs played a tough, close game with the Lakers, where it really got away from them there in the fourth quarter when LA went up by like 13 with like 7 minutes left. And then, of course, the Spurs just couldn't make that comeback. But what were your thoughts on these last three games, specifically that Lakers game?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like, when I was looking at that, the games, the next game didn't really surprise me. The Philadelphia game didn't surprise me. They were hot. They've been great at home. So the Lakers game, I was like, okay, well, we'll see exactly where they are. Are they really, as terrible as their abilities made them out to be? Or are they going to be able to stick with the Lakers like they had done earlier this season? And they showed that they could still stay with them. But the Lakers are a really good team. They've only lost two games all season so far. They're like the hottest team in the NBA right now. And, their talent level is, I'm not going to say they kind of far exceeds what Spurs have. And so it's one of those things where the fact they are able to stay with them, even though they have the players they have, they're a really deep team. I mean, I think that says something. And I like that there's some tinkering with the lineup so that, you can see what else or what works. At this point, I feel like that's always the kind of I guess the frame or the time of the season where Pop's still going to experiment. He's far from having like a set lineup and rotation, I think. So it's good to see him, try a few different things.
Yeah, and something I remarked to Bruno Passos about, we were at the game together, watching the game there on Media Row, was that I like to look up most recently, ever since the Spurs started this trend of becoming like the number one mid-range shooting team in the league. I like to look at what are your attempts as a team when you're playing the Spurs on defense? How many threes are you taking? And so I looked it up on that Knicks game on Saturday, and sure enough, the Knicks are like in the bottom 10 of 3-point attempts. So I was like, you know what? Mathematically, the Spurs should be able to hang with these guys. So of course they did, and they ended up winning. And then also looked up against the Lakers, and the Lakers were only 22nd. They were a very low volume team as well. So I think that's something where the Spurs can, as much as they're having issues on defense, they can really stay with teams when it's a team who's a low volume team, teams that don't shoot a lot of threes. Even though the Lakers are a pretty respectable team from three in terms of their percentage, I think that's what helps the Spurs. Even though they can play a lot of mid-range type of shots and the majority of their shot profile, it allows the Spurs to kind of stay in games. And so you saw that. I mean, they actually had three really good defensive quarters by their standards in this Lakers game, and it was just really that third quarter where they let the Lakers score 32, but then also the fourth, it was more the Spurs' offense rather than their defense that really let it get away from them when they basically what DeMar DeRozan said, which was that they stalled. But overall, Pop said, I think we're on the right track. I think that if they played with this type of focus, this type of you know, discipline against some of the bad teams that they lost to most recently, like the Grizzlies, like the Wizards. I think that they probably would have beat those teams had they played like this, like they did against the Lakers. But again, it didn't come out until they played the Lakers. And that showed again that, that they can be a pretty good team if they can just put that, that type of game plan together for a majority of the game. Because like you mentioned, the Lakers entered number one in the West and San Antonio had a chance of beating them there and they looked really well. So Mike, one big change that has happened, as we kind of mentioned in the beginning, was this new starting lineup that the Spurs have. It's not really a new starting lineup. It actually goes back to last year. So for the for the majority of last season, they started Derek White at the point, and then Jakob Poeltl at the center, along with Bryn Forbes at the two, DeMar DeRozan at the three, and LaMarcus Aldridge at the four. And that lineup, again, you know, the majority it played for the majority of the season, and it got them to a seven seed. It got made. I think they won 47-48 games. It took Denver to seven games in the playoffs, and that lineup actually played really well in all those games against Denver. So you know, it was something that worked. But when this season started with the inclusion of Murray back, Pop didn't really go to it. Instead, he was kind of configuring what Trey Lyles starting and DeJounte Murray, then kind of mixing up different lineups like you mentioned. And now he's kind of stuck on this lineup for two games, their old familiar lineup of Derek at the point and Jakob at the center. So let's go through some of the numbers that are happening right now. Again, it's a very small sample size. It's only 47 possessions according to Cleaning the Glass. And a lot of that data comes against a bad defense, which is the Knicks, and then also a good team in the Lakers. So in 47 possessions, the Spurs are scoring 112.8 points per 100, third on offense. They're holding teams to 102 points per 100, which would be first on defense if that was referred an entire season. So their net rating is a plus 10.6. You know, a lot of their shots still come at mid-range with this lineup, 31% of their then secondly, they shoot from the rim, and then, of course, they're not a high three-point shooting team. Their half-court offense is really good with this lineup, scoring 106.8 points per 100. They don't get on in transition. They're a slower team by playing this type of lineup with Derek at the point instead of DeJounte. And then defensively, you know, their numbers look pretty good there in a lot of different categories, and they don't let teams get out as much on them when they miss shots, the Spurs, compared to when they have DeJounte. So I think some quotes I pulled here. Last night, DeMar DeRozan had this to say about the swap in point guards, basically. He said both of them play at a different pace, so kind of talking about the Spurs is more aggressive, faster pace with DeJounte, as opposed to the slower pace with Derek, who's more half-court oriented type point guard. And then Pop even said, Coach Pop, the starters just feel comfortable with Derek starting, basically, is what he said. So I know that's a lot of information. So what are some of your takeaways right now with this swap at basically point guard, what it looks like?
Yeah, I mean, one of the words you said there was pace, and I feel like Derek White is totally change of pace point guard compared to DeJounte. He seems to have more of like a calming presence, I think, to the starters, and where he's kind of, you know, I mean, it's not, I think, something to his talent level or that he's this type of player, but it's kind of a lot like the, like, point guard of yesteryear where you can kind of, it's that reliable, somebody that's going to take care of the ball, somebody that's going to, you know, get the half-court offense set and make the right decisions. DeJounte's a lot more, you know, a faster guy. He likes to try to run and take advantage of opportunities, get the rim, things like that. And so a lot of times the offense doesn't fully get set. And so I think they're – and then they had Derek as their starting point guard for, what, almost a full season. So it doesn't surprise me that they're a little more comfortable that way. This is what they're used to. And so they start off the season with not only – DeJounte back, who was not there all last season, but and then they had those two lineup changes, and so I think this was kind of the better move to try to get guys that they're already comfortable with, the five players that they're used to having. Same thing with Jakob. I feel like he's starting to get comfortable mm-hmm. now, and I always liked what he did off the bench, and he did really good with that unit. But I think with the starters, we saw him kind of get comfortable with that last turn, and it sounds like he's starting to do that now. And, you know, a lot of people make, you know, mention of his points, things like that. But when I look at the game, I'm not really even paying attention to what he does there. It's like, okay, rebounds, defending, you know, is he going to, you know, defend the rim? And he's been able to pick up a block like almost every game so far, it seems like. And so just the small things like that, especially when he's paired up with LaMarcus and he, when LaMarcus a lot of times is pulled out from the paint, can he take care of that, or can he switch over on you know, penetrating point guards, stuff like that? And so far, it seems like he's been able to do that.
Yeah, you made a good point there, especially about, you know, for one, like you said, it's just the players are more comfortable with Derek at the point where he is, you know, he plays at a more calming pace that's more adaptable to Aldridge and DeRozan, where they can play more half-court type basketball. And then whereas Murray's out, and, you know, he's young, he wants to get on the boards, he grabs the rebounds and takes off, which early on in the season, that looked like a really good addition for their offense. But then now, you know, you see that the turnovers have kind of increased. He also just doesn't have the players who are running with him on the sides, you know, on those fast breaks, where he can kind of create him on his own. And so that's the thing, is like he just doesn't have the personnel to match his style with Aldridge and DeRozan. They're just not those type of players who are going to be out in the open court running with him. So we'll see now if that's more adaptable to the bench for him, if he can kind of figure out some chemistry with Patty Mills and Marco Bellinelli or Damari Carroll and Rudy Gay. See if those guys can kind of get out on the break with him a little bit more and the Spurs can pick up some transition, because right now the numbers don't look too good with that second unit now that they've lost Derek and they're adding Derek into the starting unit. I think also something I want to talk about is Jakob there. You just mentioned him. He's been a big presence in terms of their defense, you know, stabilizing and being good, not just this season, but also last season in the playoffs. I mean, we have a lot of data now that we can just say that these five players, you know, they're actually a pretty good group defensively. I'm not going to say top 10 level, but they're a good group defensively. And if anything, they're going to have their issues on offense because they have no shooting, basically. It's just Bryn Forbes when you start Derek and Jakob. I mean, Derek's three-point shot is there, but he'll only take them if they're wide open. He's not really a volume three-point shooter. So again, it at least gives the Spurs some production now on the defensive end where they were just not – that's the reason why they lost eight games in a row. They just had no defense for those many weeks. And so now it's kind of stabilizing the defense a little bit. You're seeing some injection of positivity there defensively. Something I wrote down here, looking at the numbers – you know, teams are only shooting 19% of their shots at the rim when it's Jakob and LaMarcus there with this starting five right now. They're shooting 60% when they do get there. But again, you just see it. I think that there's one stat that really sticks out to me in this game against the Lakers that really shows the inclusion of Jakob and LaMarcus together. It's the fact that, like, when you watch that first game against the Lakers and Spurs, the Lakers used a pick and roll sequence to get Anthony Davis switched onto DeMar DeRozan a lot in that last game, and you know, Davis just scored at will against DeRozan, which you would understand that, you know, DeMar's, you know, it's a lot shorter than Davis. Well, this time, now that the Spurs had two bigs down there, Davis really couldn't get that type of switch on them, and the Spurs were able to switch it back, or they had extra help around the rim to help out DeMar, and so you saw that. DeRozan didn't get switched up as much on Davis, and then also, you know, you just look at the paint numbers, that they've been a lot lower for the opponents when Jakob and LaMarcus are there, because the Spurs constantly have a lot of, you know, just more presence there at the rim. Where you're going to see some drawback, though, is when they play teams who shoot a lot of threes and who are really good at threes, that's where you're going to have a problem with Jakob and Aldridge. But that's not every single team. So I think you're right there that Jakob does bring some more production there on the defensive end. So what do you think about Murray now kind of learning to adjust and build some chemistry with the bench units of, like, Patty Mills, of Rudy Gay, either Marco Bellinelli or Damari Carroll?
Yeah, I actually think it could work out, because a lot of people, you know, I know a lot of people want to see Derek and DeJounte start together.
Yeah.
But I feel like you kind of have to have, and I know they can stack and do all this, but you kind of have to have another defender there in the backcourt when you've got either Bryn or Patty in the game. And so not only that, but Patty can, you know, run up and down the court as well. So maybe that works better with his style. And not only that, gives them, you know, obviously another defender along with Damari now that they can also play better defense with that second unit, especially because everybody hates when Mark goes in there and the lack of defense, I guess, that he has. So I think it could end up helping. It's just a role that I think DeJounte will have to kind of embrace, and especially as long as he's still playing limited minutes.
Yeah.
Then I think that could really work out. It's something I definitely think it's worth trying and continuing to work with, especially if it. We see the benefits in the starting group.
Yeah, that's a good point there. You know, I do still want to see the Derek and DeJounte type backcourt for a good sample size, but again, we're not going to see it until DeJounte's off this type of limits restriction. And right. It's also, this kind of makes sense putting him on the bench, because again, it's not fair to him that he has to sit on the second night of back-to-backs and that he can only play, you know, 20 minutes a night. And again, until that minutes restriction's off, it's kind of like he's hampered from making this to really, really have his growing pains and figure out, you know, how to be effective on the court. court, especially offensively, which is where he's having his issues and why Pop's kind of going with Derek more so. So we'll kind of see what happens there. This is kind of what we were going to discuss here on the Spurs cast notes. I had just recorded 5 days ago. That's why. So there's not a lot of going on. The team's only played 3 games. So Mike, before we close this episode, let's just go through a few reminders. I want to remind you all to visit projectspurs.com. Steven Anderson is keeping you updated with analysis after each game of this week. Benjamin Bornstein's latest prospect watch focuses on Jaden McDaniels of Washington. I also wrote a piece on the new starting five and ran some of the numbers they produced last season and in the playoffs. For Project Spurs premium members, I've revamped the defensive matchups page, where I'm looking at who the top three matchups for the Spurs players were in each game and how those matchups shot against the Spurs player. You can also now see an average of how matchups are shooting against Spurs defenders. Finally, thank you to Mike for mixing and editing this episode. From Michael DeLeon, I'm Paul Garcia, and from all of the staff at Project Spurs, we hope you have a great Thanksgiving week.